Rodney Rathman is our co-host. Rodney's on the board for Lutherans for Life. And Rodney, how about if you introduce our next guest?
All right. Hey, good morning, Diane.
Good morning, Rod. How are you?
I'm doing great. And you?
Fine, thank you.
Glad that you could join us this morning. Wanted to talk with you a little bit about our upcoming LFL conference, which is going to be featuring the subject of adoption this year as a theme. And this is a topic to which you can relate, right?
I certainly can. A little bit of information on the conference. It's going to be in Irving, Texas, which is in the Dallas-Fort Worth area at the Sheraton Grand Hotel, which is right by that airport, August 5th and 6th. And the focus will be on adoption and related issues. And for more information, they can go to the Lutherans for Life website, which is www.lutheransforlife.org. So, as you said, you know, this is adoption. I'm really excited about this conference because adoption is my story. I have four adopted kids, and that's how God used my circumstances to draw me into the life movement and to Lutherans for Life. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited about the whole issue.
Talking with Diane Schroeder with Lutherans for Life, and our phones are open at 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Is this one of Lutherans for Life's biggest events?
Well, it is a large event that we attract from people from all around the country to come to. And we will have probably anywhere from 300 to 500 people, depending on our local participation. It's one of the main ways that we educate our people through different areas and bring them together for fellowship and conversation and renewal in the difficult work that they do out in their own communities. So we like to have our conference to do those purposes.
And adoption really supports the pro-life movement, does it not, Diane?
Yeah, it does. It's also, you know, I work also at a CareNet pregnancy center, so I'm quite familiar with some of the issues that women come in and face when they are in an unplanned pregnancy and not knowing what to do. And we, in the pro-life community, always look at it as adoption as a solution to some of those issues, and certainly adoption is a God-pleasing solution mm-hmm. to the issues of unplanned pregnancy, where abortion is not God-pleasing because it involves the destruction of a life. Unfortunately, what we see at our centers are many young women who do not choose adoption because it's usually not even hardly considered at all. Normally, their decisions are between abortion and parenting. And that brings us to a whole another whole issue about why adoption is not really viewed very positively in our country.
Diane, why do you think that is?
Well, there's lots of various reasons. As a you know, an adoptive mother, we've gone through some of those reasons, but one of them, obviously, I think, is the language that we use as a society. We use very negative language when we talk about the issue of adoption. For example, most people will say put up your child,
uh-huh.
Given away, some of those sort of terms, which are very negative. It's a very negative view. Why would you want to give away your child? Certainly any good mother does not do that, does not give away a child, where actually adoption is a very loving alternative. But we tend to portray it very negatively. Language such as your own child, or even I would have people who, after we adopted our oldest son, Michael, who's now 28, people would say, well, someday you'll have your own child. Well, that's not true.
Wow.
They are my own children.
Sure.
Or you'll have your, you know, or otherwise, are those your real parents, meaning that there's more to a relationship than just being a parent. It has to be a biological relationship.
You know, I'd never thought about what you're saying, but it strikes me that you're making a good point. Tell me, though, in a positive sense, how would you say some of those things, like instead of put up for adoption, what would be a preferable alternative?
One of the things that I did, and my husband and I did with our children, raising adopted children, was to always make sure that we portrayed their biological parents in a very positive light, which was not anything that we made up, because we certainly believe that they made a very difficult decision. So as I would talk to my children about their biological parents, I would tell them that their mother loved them, first of all, loved them very, very much, but because of her circumstances, was not able to care for them. So she made a very difficult decision and a plan that they would be provided for.
Mm-hmm.
And so she made a choice, which was sacrificial, for her to place her children or her child with parents who could care for them and provide for them. And so we always would talk about it as being a plan rather than just, you know, giving away or putting up like they're slaves or something. You know,
I like that emphasis on the love of the mother.
Yeah.
Well, it's absolutely true. Adoption is a difficult decision, and certainly one that needs to be, you know, made very, you know, involves a lot of consideration. But a woman who places her child for adoption really is putting her child ahead of her own needs, and because she recognizes that she is not capable of providing for them in the way she would want to. Maybe she can't give them two parents. Maybe she can't provide for them financially or emotionally. Whatever it may be, whatever the reasons are, she denies herself the her biological right, I suppose, to parent her child, and then places them into hands of someone else. And it's a very sacrificial, loving decision.
Diane, were any of your four adopted children related?
No, none at all. No. I have two Caucasian children from the U.S. and then two Korean children that were adopted from, obviously, Korea. So, and all of them are now in their 20s and have done very well.
Do they have good relationships with each other?
Yeah, I would say as normal siblings, they do.
Uh-huh.
Certainly not perfect, but none of it is. But they do communicate with each other, and they're all across the country, and they get together at least once a year at Christmas time with us and celebrate as a family.
We work with Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Missouri, not only promoting foster families, but for what they call forever families. And that's another one of those better ways of expressing what adoption is.
Right. It's certainly a legal arrangement, obviously, but it's an emotional one as well. And certainly there is no difference between an adoptive family and a biological family in the commitment level to the children or any of those necessary items.
Mm. What about foster families? Did you ever have a foster child before
No.
you adopted? No.
No, we did not. We did not have a foster child at all. Fostering, of course, is another way, a very important thing that happens in communities,
mm-hmm.
care for children, maybe even on a temporary basis. And many times adoptive families are formed from fostering. I know of a woman I work with where that happened, where the biological parents were not able to be parenting their own children for a variety of reasons, and this couple was fostering them and then were asked to adopt them, and of course they did do that. Now, fostering, of course, is I think it's very, very popular right now, and it's one of the primary ways that families are being formed, adoptive families are being formed right now, at least in the state of Illinois. That's the primary way that it is happening.
Hosting a foster child is another way of reinforcing the sanctity of human life.
Right. It's caring for people. When we care for people, we are reinforcing the sanctity of life in any area, whether it's adoption or elderly or whatever. When we care for each other, as God has cared for us, then and provided for us, then we are promoting the sanctity of life.
Now, there's a couple of stories today I'd like you to comment on.
Sure.
Pro-lifers hope Kansas will be the first abortion-free state. Operation Rescue believes a new law requiring minimum safety standards may set too high a bar for Kansas' three remaining abortion clinics. And over in Indiana, Planned Parenthood of Indiana is going to close some clinics because their Medicaid has been withdrawn by Governor Daniels. Do you folks at Lutherans for Life find it encouraging that the states are tackling this issue one by one, and there seems to be some momentum?
Well, first of all, let me say that Lutherans for Life does not focus on legislation or politics or any of those things. Certainly we welcome it, but we really believe that the solution to this issue lies with the church and our people. I believe strongly that if the church would speak out on both, on any of these issues, educating our people, ministering to them, approaching women with compassion, we would go a long way to eliminating some of these problems. You know, laws do not follow hearts and minds. Laws are created because of the hearts and minds of the people. It doesn't work the other way. So really we need to change hearts and minds first on a countrywide level, and then laws will change. So maybe in the state of Kansas that has happened, that the hearts and the minds of the people have been educated to understand the issues that are really involved. And certainly we welcome these changes. It's encouraging to know that they are trying to limit the abortions that can be performed. Now, and it, but it does vary by state. Now, the law that they are referring to, I'm assuming, is a legislation that would regulate abortion clinics as ambulatory surgical centers. Is that correct?
I don't have the details before me.
I believe that that probably is the case because there is the legislation requirements for abortion clinics are different than for other centers that you may go to that that do surgery, and of course, abortion is a surgery. So, but on the other side, here in the state of Illinois, where I am, we had similar legislation introduced at our in our legislation this past term, and it was never called; it was defeated. So it varies state by state. So I'm glad that Kansas is moving in that direction, and you see a lot of activity among the states that where legislation has been introduced. On the other side, like I said, I work in a crisis pregnancy center, and there has been legislation introduced by cities to legislate the activity of crisis pregnancy centers or pregnancy resource centers as far as their ability to advertise their services. In Austin, Baltimore, and New York City, legislation has been passed and introduced requiring pregnancy centers to state that they do not refer or perform abortion, and they do not refer or give contraception. So they are requiring them to post signs in their centers saying that things that they do not do. And what is interesting is that the alternatives, such as Planned Parenthood, who are abortion providers, they don't have to post any signs saying what they do not do. So you have it all over about the legislation. So LFL really believes that the solution to much of this is a return to a God-based society where the sanctity of life is respected as given by Him, and churches are the key to that.
Diane, the clinic where you volunteer, does it employ a sonogram?
Oh, yes. We have four centers, and each of them has an ultrasound machine. And we also have a full-time nurse that travels around between our four centers and volunteer doctors giving ultrasounds. Ultrasound is an extremely powerful tool for women because it reveals to them that pregnancy in a way that just telling them can't do. They can actually see their child many times very active, and that will at least for one thing reinforce to them that they are actually going to be a mother and they are actually pregnant. So it is a very powerful tool, not 100% for sure, but it is very powerful. So we use it extensively. Now, another piece of legislation that was introduced in the state of Illinois this year was a law that would require women to see an ultrasound before having an abortion. And the real issue was that abortion providers do ultrasounds as well, because they need to determine the gestational age of the child in order to know what kind of abortion procedure to use. So they automatically do an ultrasound, but they do not show them to the women. So the women never sees them. And in the state of Illinois, that legislation was defeated as well.
We just experienced the birth of our first grandchild, Diane.
Oh, wonderful. Congratulations.
Yeah, and my wife and I both commented, how could anybody not be pro-life? It's just so precious.
Yeah. Well, many times, you know, women who come to us, they're scared. They're very afraid. They don't know what to do. They have no support. Mm-hmm. They've been abandoned. They're afraid to tell their parents. They don't know what's going to happen. And so many times a woman will choose that because she just doesn't know what else to do.
It doesn't seem like a blessing at the time.
No, it's not for many of them. They don't have the support systems to be able to do that. To be able to carry that pregnancy, and that's one of the roles of the pregnancy resource centers to try and do that for them.
Adopted in Christ, the August 5th and 6th conference happening in Dallas, Texas on adoption, and I understand that the registration closed on May 31st. Could anybody squeak in if they wanted to?
Oh, yeah, that was just pre-registration. Anyone is welcome to come and even show up there. We're happy to have them. Just come and enjoy the conference.
All right. Thank you for being with us today. Diane Schroeder. With Lutherans for Life. Blessings.